Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, LAX is making a lot of changes, and a new survey says hotel sex is the best. Sorry.
I'm looking forward to that one. The mailbag, where Mark answers your questions, one of our most popular segments. And today we find out why it's important for us to turn our cell phones off on the plane, whether or not an airline owes you anything when they cancel your flight, and if travel insurance covers you if you're bumped from a plane. Very interesting questions. All of that coming up at 3:35.
United Airlines committed high crimes against humanity by having someone dragged off one of their planes recently. Now United is promising to do better. And with the help of Chris Elliott at 3:45, I'll tell you if they can keep the promises they are making and why it's important no matter which airline you fly.
Sacramento Music Festival is arguably the biggest music event of the year here in Sactown, and it's coming up in less than a couple of weeks. And at 3:50, we're joined by Cat Coffee, and we'll make you a smarter music festival goer if you stay tuned in regards to parking, venue tips, and lots more.
Mother's Day is a busy one for many people. If your radio has turned to our voices, we thank you for listening. Happy Mother's Day and welcome to the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to Paris. To Alaska, go north to Russia's own.
Once again, as Mark pointed out, and we all know this by now, happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers listening, and even to those mothers that aren't listening, for that matter. And it's a pleasure to be here, working hard, and hopefully you'll get some enjoyment out of what we have to bring here on the Travel Guys. Brought to you, by the way, by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman is immediately to my left. I'm immediately to his right. And I don't know
what
else.
It's been that way for a while.
It has been.
Listen, it's Mother's Day, which is important. We get to the travel stuff here in a minute, but not only to the mothers, but to all the people who have acted as mothers over the years. I mean, like, for example, I would say the lady at the school secretary when I was in elementary school, mm-hmm. who fed me my lunch money on days when I forgot to bring it from home, and you know, and all the people like her who, you know, the lady in the cafeteria line who gave me the extra dollop of turkey and gravy on the days when I wanted it, and you know, little people who did little motherly things along the way and looked out for you, teachers and next door neighbors and all of those aunts and all of those kinds of people. This is also a day to kind of honor them.
There you go. You know, and one of those people, would have been my mother, because
yes.
she was a cafeteria worker.
Oh, really?
And a cafeteria manager. And so all of my friends and so forth through high school, you know, got fed and mothered from mom.
Yeah. Did she work at the school where you went, where you attended?
She did. She worked.
Oh, wow. How cool would that be?
She worked. You'll love this. My mom worked as the cafeteria manager, Thomas Downey High School, Modesto. And my dad was the head custodian. So even when I was at school, there was my mom feeding me and my dad cleaning up after me. It was pretty rough.
That's if you fell down or something like that and they had to call your parents, at least they were nearby.
Yeah, absolutely. And interestingly enough, since my mom was a cafeteria cook, the majority of the things that she cooked at home mm-hmm. were the same kind of things that you would cook for 300 people at a high school. So
and you showed me before we went on the air that on your phone,
yes,
you have...
I put mom on my screensaver there,
yeah.
so that she'd be front and center for today.
How cool is that?
Yeah. My mom, on a regular basis, I will use colloquialisms. You're familiar with those.
Yeah,
like, I'll be switched, and for heaven's sakes,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, as poor as old Job's turkeys.
Yes,
and,
yes.
A lot of times I will preface what I'm about to say by saying, you know, as my mom would say.
Uh-huh.
So then I keep her going.
That's that is pretty cool.
How's your mom holding up?
She's hanging in there. She's, you know, for a lady who raised three children pretty much on her own. And I was thinking the other day, I went by in the grocery store. I went by and I was in Whole Foods to get some crab or something the other day. And I because I can't afford to shop there all the time. I have to go there just on occasion for something special. They had these little watermelons. And it reminded me that in our house, when I was growing up, we didn't have a tremendous amount of money. And so sometimes when it was in season, at the end of the month, you know, when the paycheck came, we would get a watermelon with the groceries.
Wow.
And to us, that was a big treat. Or getting a half gallon of ice cream or something like that. I wouldn't call us poor, but we didn't have any money to waste on anything if we wanted to make it through the month. And so I just, all I remember about growing up was all the times that my mother, our mother, sacrificed something that she could have had to make sure that the kids had. So I think that's kind of the definition of being a mother is if you take care of and you're there, you know, you're there in the low spots and you make sacrifices that, you know, you put yourself second and your kids first. And I think this is the day when we honor all of those ladies who have put themselves second and their kids first.
Well, there you go. I agree 100%. And if for some reason, if your mom happens to be listening right this very moment, happy Mother's Day to Mrs. Hoffman. And so thank you for bringing us Mark.
It's not everybody would be happy with that, but thanks, Mom. We best get on to the travel news.
Okay, let's do it. Mark Hoffman brings us the travel news and some unexpected attention stuff here.
Let's just hang on to that story for a couple of minutes here. Royal Caribbean has announced for the second time in a month that they have changed their main dining room dress code. The reason I found this kind of interesting is apparently about a month ago, they said that they were trying to figure out what was appropriate attire. And some cruise lines allow you to wear shorts at dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And the Royal Caribbean doesn't want you to wear shorts at dinner. And so they had released something that kind of led some people to believe that maybe that was possible. And so they had to kind of double back and say, no, we want you to wear, we don't want to see the bottom half of your legs at dinner time.
Even if you're wearing a sports jacket and tie, no shorts.
For casual nights, they suggest that you keep the swimwear to the pool deck.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was kind of interesting in this day of getting casual. They're trying to get casual, but not too fast on the cruise ships. How much should you tip your housekeeper? We talk about this from time to time, about how important it is to consider a small gratuity to the housekeeper. And I think you're somebody who believes in that particular practice.
Yeah.
So you leave a couple of bucks, I'm guessing.
You know, it just depends here again on the circumstances.
Yeah. Well, I leave $2 in small towns and $3 in big ones. That's what I, and if I happen to have an oversized room or I've done something, I ate popcorn and it's all over the floor or something like that, why then I usually feel guilty and leave a couple extra bucks. How much to tip housekeeping? Here are the great-great-granddaughter of Emily Post.
Okay.
So there could be no better authority on etiquette than the great-great-granddaughter. Lizzie Post is her name. And she says that she recommends $2 to $5 per day. So I'm falling in the guidelines here. The American Hotel and Lodging Association's guide suggests $1 to $5 per day. And the Executive Housekeepers Association, you might expect them to be more on the upside. They say $5 per day. They don't give a range. So I'm still saying a couple of bucks a day. But anyway, if you don't tip the housekeeper, consider the fact that the person who cleans your toilet is the poorest paid person in the building and made the bed that you sleep in. And so, you know, it might just be. I'm not suggesting if the service is bad. The other thing she points out here is tip every day if you're going to tip the housekeeper rather than tipping once at the end of your stay.
One of the things that's, been going on now for a few years to save water and other things, I guess. Not always do I have my room made up every night.
Yes, one of those folks who doesn't necessarily feel like you don't. In some cases, you're also a Starwood guy.
Yes, Starwood.
And they give you a discount or a credit?
You get a choice. Either you get points or you'll get a voucher towards maybe the bar or the restaurant.
Ah.
So you get to choose which one of those that you would like. And they have a little little thing that you put on the door, mm-hmm. and basically says you do not need to clean my room.
I wonder if those of us who are Marriott customers will see that coming to Marriott.
You never know, you know. But the thing is that if it's just a matter of that you need some extra clean towels, mm-hmm. you can just walk out in the hallway in the morning time when they're making up the rooms, or go to the desk and get some fresh towels.
That's very true.
They don't necessarily need to come into your room and make up a bed.
Nor do you need a clean towel every day. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't, after I shower in the morning, do not go and take my, put my towel in the laundry.
Exactly.
I use it for, you know, a week or two or... Anyways, it is the best of times and the worst of times for air travelers. It seems as though it's the worst of times.
Yeah, where's the best of times?
Well, J.D. Power, which is mm-hmm. the kind of the travel industry's go-to survey person.
I think they're the survey people for just about everything.
They are, and they say satisfaction score on airlines year over year increased to 756 from 726 a year ago. Low-cost carriers, led mostly by Southwest Airlines, scored better than traditional carriers. In the traditional group, who do you think was first? This is a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, how long ago was this survey taken?
Just 4 weeks ago.
Virgin America.
Very good. I'm very impressed. Virgin America is not in the list because they have merged with Alaska.
Okay.
Who is, so you win, because Alaska is number one on the list. Delta is right behind them, and then American, United, and Air Canada was their North American traditional group. And for the low-cost carriers, Southwest, JetBlue, WestJet, which is Canada's low-cost carrier, and then Frontier. They didn't score Spirit. Frontier is 10% below every other carrier on their score. Southwest and JetBlue have the highest scores. So what we've talked
very
about
good.
Here,
yeah.
that people indeed are noticing the fact that it is just more pleasant to be on one of their airlines. And why is it more pleasant? Because they do a lot of little things that make people just a little bit happier. There's a rumor. Go ahead.
Yeah, I used to think that it had to do with not only the people that work for Southwest and the way they treat their customers, but the people that flew on Southwest. But but recently, the fist fights on Southwest Airlines between the passengers
is starting
to make me concerned.
I'm going to suggest to you, first of all, that's coincidence, but you know, your very own news team here at KFBK did a story last week about the lack of civility among airline passengers, and I would suggest to you that there is. And that part of the reason for that is the airlines themselves. And one of the reasons that generally it's a little less arduous to fly Southwest and JetBlue is because they generally treat people better. And the incidents that's happened on the Southwest planes lately are between the passengers.
Exactly.
And they have nothing really to do with the service or the anything else. There's a rumor here that online passport renewal could be on the way for certain folks. Those who already have TSA pre-clearance mm-hmm. or have the clear or the global passport clearance thing, that you could maybe renew your passport online. That would be way cool. Alaska Airlines has announced a new benefit for new parents. If you have a baby born into your family and you are the mother or the father and it keeps you from being able to travel, you can preserve your status with Alaska Airlines for a year. All you need is a verification letter from your doctor, and Alaska Airlines will roll your status. It probably doesn't apply to very many people, mm-hmm. but the people it applies to probably will be very appreciative of
something like that. Yeah, because, as a lot of folks know, the airlines, you need to be active.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes you can't be active.
Well, and you need to be active to keep your points, and you need to be active every year your status is renewed. So that's just, I think, a nice thing to allow... That's a legitimate situation. You know, you had a baby and maybe, like I said, you're the dad. You need to stay home with mom or whatever it is. Anyway, Alaska will give you a little bit of a break on a one-time basis. Southwest Airlines has switched over to a new system last week and nothing happened.
Wow.
My goodness. That's the first time that any airline has done that for a while. Fewer Americans are looking to visit Cuba. Three airlines have now pulled all of their service, so there's now only three of the six carriers are staying there. A survey shows that fewer people have Cuba on their bucket list, which is probably good because the pricing there has gone up a little bit. And let's see, we've got some other things. The electronics ban may be expanded to all flights from Europe. We'll have more on that, I'm sure, in weeks to come. At LAX, terminal changes began last Saturday. 15 airlines are moving back and forth, and I checked with the folks at LAX during the week, and they said everything is going swimmingly. There's been a little bit of confusion, and a few people have gone to the wrong terminal. So if you're planning a flight to LAX, or you know somebody who is, who's originating there, if you're flying down, you're coming back from LAX, your airline could very well be in a different terminal than it was the week before. And finally, the story that we've all been waiting for here that I almost forgot.
Attention, attention, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, this is important breaking news.
This is a new survey says hotel sex is the best sex. Indeed, AOL is reporting that researchers found that when people have sex in a hotel, there's an increased rush of dopamine to their brain. Dopamine is what runs your pleasure center, you know, makes you feel good.
And makes you dopey.
Yes. And so when you're doing something or someone that you love, why you get this dopamine rush. And apparently being in a hotel... What are you laughing about?
Go ahead.
Being in a hotel room and having a happy moment leads people to be happier than if they're in their own home. And the good news is the surveyors say that people reported that you don't have to be on a vacation. You don't have to be in a faraway place, that this, the dopamine rush works locally too.
Just to go out for dinner and then stay in a hotel room.
Stay in a hotel room and the dopamine rush. And they did mention that I'm not kidding you, that the higher price the hotel room, the more luxurious the surroundings, the better that all works. So if you're
is there any reason as to why more dopamine at the Holiday Inn, or better yet, at the the luxury hotel.
I don't know about that. I suppose the
thrill of being discovered.
I'll try to do a follow up on that next week on the hotel sex is the best sex.
Okay.
Story. And that is the end of today's extended travel news.
Okay, let's see. What's next? Let's
take a break, come back, and I'm going to tell
you... I've lost track.
I'm going to tell you some great things about Cincinnati, Cooperstown, and New York City.
All right, great. I was concentrating on sex in a hotel. I lost my mind.
We are the Travel Guys.
Hi there, happy Mother's Day. We are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, you just got back from a rather extended outing.
I took a bunch of baseball fans on a trip. Let me just tell you something. We had terrible weather.
Yes.
The baseball team, the Giants, played pathetically.
Yes.
We got beat in Cincinnati 13-3 and 14-2 on consecutive nights. The team played so poorly, they didn't even win the games that we weren't at. They lost all three in Cincinnati. We saw two of them, and then we went to New York and missed the first one, which they lost, and they won the last one.
The
getaway game, But you know what? I had never been to Cincinnati before, and that is really a beautiful city. I think all the folks in our group would agree that it's not a city you hear a lot about. It sits on a river, and... So it's Riverfront Stadium, obviously, and folks who have been there know that Northern Kentucky, it's a border town, so you're on Ohio and Kentucky is just over the river. In fact, we stayed in Kentucky. Cool thing, if you're going to Cincinnati for baseball games, you can stay in Kentucky and walk over to the other side of the river for the ball game. It's only like a 10 or 15 minute walk.
Well, that's cool.
Providing the weather is good enough. The first night we sat through a couple hour rain delay. But...
Yeah, I mean, was it difficult to really appreciate the city with the kind of weather that you were up against?
A little bit, but everybody's kept their spirits. We went and had Skyline Chili, of course, the famous Cincinnati chili, which has all kinds of interesting things, including a little chocolate in it, and over spaghetti, which was, so that was... That was kind of a fun experience in downtown, and we, when we got to Cooperstown, of course, we went for the Baseball Hall of Fame, and you obviously, if you're a baseball fan, you go there, and if you're not, you probably don't, which is a shame, because Cooperstown is the most wonderful little village of 1,500 people, even though it has a monument that's very important, and you know what's really fun about the Baseball Hall of Fame? You go in there... And I've been there several times, so it's a shrine to me, but I love watching other people, particularly people who have never been there before, because their eyes get about as big as saucers when they're walking around the room and these guys that they heard on the radio as they were growing up, and the times they remember with their team and other games. And baseball fans are just kind of different from fans from other sports. And the Hall of Fame for baseball is really, really a sacred, special place. If you haven't been there, Cooperstown is a great place. If you can afford it, stay at the Otisauga Hotel, because that's the famous old hotel by the lake. And the freight is a little high there, but the service is amazing. And it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful place to stay. We had lunch at West Point on our way to New York City, which was kind of fun. We stayed at a Spring Hill Suites out by the ballpark by Citi Field. If you're going to New York and you're going to some games at Citi Field, there's a Spring Hill Suites. It's about a mile from the park. You can actually walk if you wish. But the one reason that we liked the hotel so much was the staff. And the service there was really amazing. Spring Hill Suites is kind of a limited service place, and they really treated us well. So if you are looking for a place to stay near LaGuardia or near Citi Field, I would recommend the Spring Hill Suites by Marriott. They also have a shuttle service, which will take you to the subway, the nearby subway station and back. Really, really great. But Cincinnati, God, what a great place to visit. And I was really surprised, and I'm going to invite one of the people who was on one of the places that we visited on the show next week. So we'll talk about that next week.
Well, we got about 30 seconds, and then it'll be time to check in with the news. But I did have a couple of questions about your trip, and we're going to do the mailbag right after the news. And during that, or right before we get started, I'll hit you up with a couple of questions and some things that I think our listeners might want to know.
Okay. We mentioned it was Mother's Day. People probably know that. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just like, mothers are pretty important to me. There were a lot of people who mothered me along the way. So thank you to any of them who might be listening. Thank you.
Travel Guys Mailbag next, right after the news here on KFBK. Travel Guys on the radio every Sunday, 3 to 4. Visit us at TravelGuysRadio.com. You can get the podcasts. Also, you can find us at iHeartRadio or at KFBK.com. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano with you. We're brought to you by that wonderful little travel company, Sports Leisure Vacations. And Mark, we were talking about your trip to Cincinnati, and I know from there you left and you went to New York to catch a couple of games with the Mets. Now, on your trip, you had some weather issues. How many people were traveling with you?
About 25, 23.
Okay, 23. And now you're there and you're finding that maybe the game might get delayed or it might get canceled and you have an itinerary. What goes on behind the scenes? And I think Chris was with you. And
yeah.
What's it like? How do you guys plan?
Well, for example, we were going to go to the zoo in Cincinnati during the day on Friday, and it was raining. So you can't go to a zoo in the rain, but and you don't know it's going to rain until it actually rains. We could look at the forecast, and you can. So what you do is you do your homework. If you're a tour director or one of the folks who's responsible for people's dreams coming true on the road that they've paid you a lot of money for, then you try to have a plan B. So we had a plan B in the back of our brain before Friday ever came along. So when it rained, we just shifted to plan B, which included going to a Cincinnati Reds baseball museum and to a big and taking a guided tour of a big international food store, somewhat similar to what we have in Rancho Cordova, but on a more formalized basis. And they had a lot of samples, and it was kind of fun, and it was raining outside. So those were two perfect activities to keep us indoors during the day. And we had a lot of fun. We had a really good group of people, so that helps too, to have camaraderie among the people that you're traveling with. But sometimes you don't have to come up with extensive things. You know, we got to New York City and we found that, I mentioned the Spring Hill Suites is about a mile from the ballpark. So we had planned for folks to walk to the ball game one day because they told us it was about 0.6 miles, but they lied a little bit. And we decided that, you know, a mile was too far and it was going to be late at night. And so we sprang for some car service to get the people to and from the ballpark and allowed them to arrive at the game in black SUVs with darkened windows, three SUVs coming together, which made people think that, you know, it might have been somebody important arriving. Mm-hmm. It was somebody important. It was a bunch of Giants fans. Sometimes it's the ability. I'd like to, you know, we charge enough money at Sports Leisure Vacations for our trips that when something goes wrong, there are the funds there to take care of something. And we're not afraid to dip into our own pockets and into the profits and give a little bit back when there's a situation where people really, you know, where it really calls for it, because that's just good business. That's what you do when you have good customers and you want them to come back someday. So despite the fact that the weather was bad and the ball team didn't play very well, the Giants pretty much sucked all week. We had a great time.
Well, all right. Well, let's move from one question from Tom to Mark to those that reach out to us at travelguysradio.com with questions about their travels and things that they hear about on the radio. Mark,
okay.
you didn't give me the list, so we're going to kind of count on you to kind of ask yourself the questions
all right.
from our
okay,
listeners.
Okay, that sounds good.
So take it away.
And you know, we've done this now a couple weeks in a row, and that's just because we're getting a lot more questions than I used to. If you have a question about travel or a hotel or a destination or an airline or something that happened to you or just something you heard and you want to know, travelguysradio.com, there is a little form there. You can just write your question down and send it in, and I'll try to answer as many of them as I can individually, and some of them we answer on the air. So one person says, they're always telling you you have to turn your cell phone off, you know, when the airplane's taking off. Mm-hmm. Does something bad happen if you don't turn off your cell phone? And the answer to that is yes and no. The bad thing is your cell phone will search for a cell tower the whole time that you're on the plane. So it will be searching and trying to connect every cell tower that it thinks that it might, you know, get a little tiny blip from at 35,000 feet. And so your phone is going to have less juice, or your iPad or whatever you leave on, if it's connected to a phone line. The other thing is that there are some people who say that all of that searching and all of that, those signals bouncing back and forth, could impact the ability of the airplane to communicate with the ground. There is nothing that substantiates that I can find. But there are lots of people who say that it is true. But most of those people are airline people. So, you know, there's no case of a plane crashing because somebody had their cell phone on. But I think generally, because you want to save your power, you never know when you're going to need it, that it's a good idea to turn your cell phone off when you get on an airplane. I mean, obviously.
There you go. They have that thing called airplane mode there for a reason.
That's exactly right. And the other thing, I mean, that keeps it on, but not draining as much power because it won't be searching. The other thing is, of course, have the app for the airline you're flying on your phone before you take off. I don't care how rudimentary your technology knowledge is. Get the app. Have your grandson help you put it on your phone if you have to. But have the Delta, United, American, Southwest, JetBlue, whomever, Alaska app on your phone. Because then when you land, all you do is tap that little app. And if they know who you are, you've recorded yourself in their system, you'll know where your connecting gate is and all of that stuff while you're still sitting on the airplane. You might know that, you know, you think you have to run to your next plane because you only have 20 minutes, but your next plane is delayed and now you have an hour and a half. So it could really help you tremendously. This is another kind of interesting question. Somebody says, if a crew member orders you off of an airplane, do you have to obey? And this person goes on and outlines several different scenarios, but what I want to tell you is that the answer generally is yes. If you're on an airplane and a crew member tells you, a flight attendant or a member of the flight crew tells you you have to get off the plane, the answer generally is yes. United Airlines says they're not going to do that anymore once people are on planes, and we'll talk about that. But airlines do overbook. It's not illegal. And you have to get off of the airplane when somebody tells you it's better to fight your argument, even if you think you're in the right. You're not going to win an argument on an airplane. And if you don't follow a crew member's orders, you could find yourself in jail. And no matter if you're going to be delayed till the next day, miss a meeting, whatever, none of that is worth being in jail for. So I would suggest to you that if a crew member asks you to get off the plane, you do. Another related question, I'm sure, to all this United stuff that came up. Does an airline owe you something if your flight is canceled? You know, it's the day before you're supposed to fly, and the airline sends you a notification, says your flight is canceled. We've rebooked you to this, and now it's screwed up your plans. Maybe you've lost the night of hotel room. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Something. The answer is the airline does not owe you anything. They all have a...
Well, they do have a responsibility to get you to your destination, do they not?
Yes, but if your flight is canceled, all they owe you is a refund. They all have in their contract of carriage something that says their flight schedules are not guaranteed. Let's see here. Delta Airlines, I had theirs here in front of me. Theirs is Rule 240. Published schedules, flight times, aircraft types, seating assignments, and similar details reflected in the ticket or Delta's published schedules are not guaranteed. So airlines don't guarantee their schedules, so you should realize this when planning your trip. There are many things that can and often do make it impossible for flights to arrive on time. If you're flying to a cruise or to leave on a cruise or for a very important, a graduation or something, someone's wedding or something.
Go the day before.
Thank you very much. Very, very important.
You know, all I'm just sitting here listening to you and going, you know, why do we fly? Why do we... You know, why
well,
do we
it's
subject,
easier than walking.
Why do we subject? You know, there's going to be a major campaign that it's going to be called Travel Locally. You know, if you go someplace that you can drive to in your own family car. And but I know that's impractical.
Well, I don't know that it's necessarily, you know, I mean, a lot of people make that choice on a regular basis now. They fly in instead of drive. Okay. In the last few minutes here before we have to go. Oh, we only have a couple minutes. Roll that United Airlines tape that we have. This is Oscar Munoz, the CEO of United Airlines, and this is part of what he said in making his promises to folks.
Starting today, United is changing how we fly, serve, and most importantly, respect our customers. As we've already announced, law enforcement will not remove customers from a flight, and customers will not be asked to give up their seat once on board, except in matters of safety or security. We will also increase incentives for voluntary rebooking up to $10,000. And we're developing new tools and training for our employees to solve issues for our customers in the moment. This is just the beginning of how we earn back your trust. I promise that we will learn from our failures and be a better, more customer-focused airline as a result. Thank you.
Now, that's all fine and wonderful, and he's a very sincere guy, and that was basically a two-minute thing that United put on its website. But... as Chris Elliott points out in a USA Today story he did this week after this was released, this is all fine and wonderful, but maybe we could do something that actually improved things. Like American Airlines immediately announces, while this is all going on, that they're going to put an extra row of seats in their new aircraft and reduce the seating level to 29 inches.
Oh, that helps a lot.
And 30 in others. I mean, United has a $200 fee to change a ticket, which everyone agrees doesn't come anywhere close to what it costs United Airlines to change a ticket. It costs them about $7 or $8. So maybe we could change that fee to $50, or maybe we could do some things that actually showed that you really do care about your customers as opposed to just blithering in a bunch of PR garbage that really doesn't mean anything. And this is not directly at United Airlines, but this is intended for all of them. Because they're all in the same boat here, because it was just United that got caught with their pants down. The rest of them walk without a belt on a daily basis.
Nice scenario.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's true. These situations that have, and people are reporting all the United Airlines, Delta's had a problem. The American flight attendant hit the lady with the stroller. You're going to keep seeing this stuff because it's an adversarial situation on airplanes, but I'm just going to suggest to you it doesn't happen as often on Southwest and JetBlue planes. And that J.D. Power survey we talked about earlier in the show points out the fact that people are not as cantankerous on those airlines. It's not as an adversarial situation, and that's why I think those people are getting higher scores. And consequently, I think that people should be rewarding those airlines by booking more often on JetBlue and Southwest. That is what I intend to do.
There you go. Okay. Remember now, go to TravelGuysRadio.com if you'd like to, leave us a question in the mailbag. Coming up in just a few minutes, Cat Coffee joins us. We're going to talk Sacramento Music Festival coming up on Memorial Day weekend here on The Travel Guys.
You can travel by road.
Welcome, everyone. You've got the Travel Guys on KFBK. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And let me be more specific. We are the travel and entertainment guys. And that's because we like to feature entertainment, particularly when it's something great and something local. And our special guest on the line is with the upcoming Sacramento Music Festival. A lot of folks used to know it as the Dixieland Jazz Festival for years and years down in Old Town. Representing the Sacramento Music Festival on the line with his Cat Coffee, who I've known for a couple of years as well. One of the best voiceover talents in the market, a crackerjack engineer, recording engineer, and much, much more. Cat, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hi, thank you so much.
Kat, let's start off by letting folks know what's on the agenda.
Well, as you mentioned, this has been going on for, this will be our 44th year. And it did start out as a Dixieland festival, and it sort of morphed into different kinds of genres and a little more encompassing blues and now rock. And so now we have rebranded ourselves as the Sacramento Music Festival, but it is presented by the Sacramento Traditional Jazz Society, and we always honor our legacy. So we have tons of traditional jazz for those folks who are interested in that, but we also have something for maybe a different crowd, which is the blues, the rock, Latin, Zydeco, even a little bit of country. We try to cater to everyone.
Now, Kat, is this all taking place as it traditionally did in the old Sacramento venues, or are you spread out a little bit more around town?
We are actually closer in than we used to be. We are now just in Old Sacramento and the Holiday Inn Ballroom and the Embassy Suites Hotel, which are adjacent to Old Sacramento. So everything is within walking distance. You only have to just get to the Old Sacramento area to visit all the venues.
Kat, tell our listeners a little information in regards to make them smarter event goers as to the best places to park and how early to get there and something having to do with transportation.
There are city parking lots adjacent to Old Sacramento, one under the freeway, and the five-story brick building at the south end of Old Sacramento. And both of those have event parking for the weekend as opposed to hourly parking. And I looked at sacpark.org just a while ago, and you can actually pre-book your parking for those parking lots. And the price that was quoted today was $11.25 for the whole day. Parking lots do frequently fill up, so there is alternate transportation available. You can also find that through the City of Sacramento website. There is all the listings for the different public transportation. If you're coming from out of town and you want to stay, the Hilton Garden Inn still has some availabilities, and there's a shuttle bus that's right on I-5, not far from Old Sacramento, and there's a shuttle bus that will bring you from the Hilton Garden Inn down into Old Sacramento.
And all you'd have to pay is, it looks like, are the regular RT fares. Kat, tell us a little bit about tickets. I see that there's an all-event ticket. Are there daily tickets also? Tell us a little bit about how folks can attend and what it's going to cost.
The value ticket would be the all-event ticket, and that starts on Friday morning and gets you all the way through Monday afternoon. It will get you into any venue, anything you want to do. That's $110 for the entire event in advance and $125 if you purchase it once you get to Old Sacramento in one of the booths there. There are also daily tickets, and they run between $45 and $55 a day depending on the days, because some days we have more music. And the music typically runs from 10 or 11 in the morning until between 10:30 and midnight. We're running a special this year on Friday night at the Firehouse lot only. It will be a $10 ticket just for the night. Starts at 5 o'clock. Rock and Latin, On Air, Latin Touch, Midnight Players, and Caravan Sarai will be playing. Also, if people come that night and decide, wow, this is so much fun, we want to come back for the weekend, they can trade in their $10 ticket to get a weekend pass and come back for the entire weekend.
Kat, for our more mature travelers and listeners that perhaps don't want to tackle going into the Old Sacramento area to catch maybe some of the traditional Dixieland jazz and so forth, what would you recommend? Where would you recommend that they go and navigate those venues?
We have two venues at the Holiday Inn, and both, of course, are air-conditioned and comfortable. And also the ballroom at the Embassy Suites is available, also again, air-conditioned and comfortable. And we have a variety of music, primarily traditional jazz, in all three of those venues. And if they're feeling adventurous and want to come on into Old Sacramento, we still have some air-conditioned and very comfortable locations there, and including the outdoor Firehouse Courtyard, which is intimate and gorgeous. We also have in Old Sacramento the Delta King if they just go to one venue, the music just goes all day long, and it's always different. So you're not going to hear the same band over and over again.
Yeah, there's like six or seven venues all the time with an incredible variety. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4. You've got a dozen different types of featured music here. So really, if you're a music lover, not just for jazz, but for any kind of music, you can go on a daily basis or get a great deal for the whole weekend. What about food? Will there be food available?
Yes, plenty of food available. We have food trucks this year because, you know, food trucks are all the rage. So there will be food trucks in Old Sacramento. There are beverages available, including adult beverages. And the portion of the proceeds from the adult beverages and other kinds of beverages that you buy with tickets, of course, go to the Sacramento Jazz Society Foundation and supporting the youth bands, which is the whole point of all of this, is to promote the traditional music so that it lives on. Aside from having lots of really established traditional jazz bands, which if some of your listeners are people who travel to the different locations to see these jazz festivals, they'll recognize names like Cornet Chop Suey from St. Louis and High Sierra Jazz Band and, of course, Tom Rickney and Flambeau. So those guys travel the festival circuit. They do jazz cruises and things like that. You guys have probably heard from them. And we also have lots of youth bands. And I just want to mention for anybody who might be interested that aside from the trad bands that we have coming, are lucky to have Louis Prima Jr. this year. He's going to come with his band, The Witnesses, and they do a tribute to his dad and a ton of other things. Plus, we have Pete Escovedo, and he'll be there with his sons, Juan and Peter Michael Escovedo, and Fat Cat Swinger is coming in from Hollywood. And then we have a lot of Queen Nation, Super Huey, Chicago, the Tribute, those kinds of things, as well as traditional jazz and blues, of course. McMartin will be there. He's a fixture.
The Sacramento Music Festival. It's Memorial Day weekend in Old Sacramento. You can go to travelguysradio.com to find out more information about how you can get your tickets today. There's even a great VIP ticket there. You can take a look at that, too. Thank you, Kat Coffey, for all of this wonderful information. You have definitely made our folks, as Tom said, smarter event goers. Thank you for joining us on The Travel Guys.
Thanks so much, and I hope to see you all there.
And that wraps up another edition of The Travel Guys here on KFBK.
Special happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there or anybody who has mothered anyone through life and gotten us along the way. Remember to dance like nobody is watching. We'll see you next week at 3 o'clock.
Stay well, my friends, and we'll see you next time.